Good evening, you all, and thank you so much for inviting me to be here with you this evening. Hello to my friends on Zoom as well. So I'd like to do something a little bit different with you tonight. My guidance is taken from the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, a teaching of the Buddha. And I've asked you to sit in chairs because I'd like you to feel your feet on the ground. So we've just come out of a really extraordinary period of Zazen. Allow this to be a continuation of that. This is an opportunity to experience an embodied practice. So we sit in our chairs. We find the places that our body is making contact. Our feet, beginning with our feet. Feel your feet on the floor. Surrendering into the floor. Feel the soles of your feet pressing, releasing, surrendering into the earth. Feel the top of your feet. Feel the air move across the top of your feet. And now bring your inner gaze to the space between the soles of your feet and the top of your feet. And live there. Live in the heart of your feet. Bring your inward gaze to your ankles, the front of your ankle, the back of your ankle, reaching into the heel, into the earth. The inside of your ankles and the outside of your ankles. And then bring your gaze to the space in between the four quadrants. Feel the heart of your ankle. Draw your gaze into your lower leg, the front, your shin, the back, calf, the insides of the lower leg, and the outside of the lower leg. And then gaze deeply into the space between the four quadrants. Feel the heart inside of your lower leg. Draw your gaze to your knees, the front of your knee, backs of your knees, inside edge of the knees, outside edge of the knees, and the heart in the middle. Draw your gaze to the upper leg, the tops of your legs, the backs of your legs, which are reaching into the chair, into the earth. Find the inside edge of your upper legs and the outside edge. And now go to the heart. Feel into your hip socket. Left hip outer, right hip outer. Back of the pelvis, front of the pelvis, and then the space, the heart, in between. Draw your inner gaze into your lower abdomen, the front of your belly, the back of your belly. And then perhaps the inside of the organs resting inside. What is it to live inside of your stomach? Draw your gaze upward into your torso, the front of your torso, the back, the side rib cage left, the side rib cage right. And then bring that gaze to the heart. Can you sense your heart beating? Can you sense your heart beating through all the pores of your body? Bringing your gaze into your shoulders, left outer shoulder, right outer shoulder, left inner shoulder, right inner shoulder, and the heart in the middle of both shoulders. Bring your gaze to your palms. Open your palms, palms face up, fingers gently curled, relaxed, as if you're cupping the air in your hands. Feel the inside of your palms, the backs of your palms, and then the heart in between. Draw your gaze to your lower arms, the inside of your arms, the outside of your arms, and the heart that beats in the middle of your arms. Your gaze comes to your elbows, inside edges, outside edges, front crease, back elbow. And what beats in the heart of that elbow? Draw your gaze into your upper arms, front of the arms, back of the arms, armpits, outer arms, the heart beating in the arms. Gaze comes up to the throat, the voice box, the throat, the front of the throat, the back of the neck, the left side of the neck, and right side. And what lies at the heart of the throat? Bring your gaze to your lips, your tongue, your mouth. Find the heart of your mouth. Find the heart of your throat. Bring your gaze to your eyes. We have two sets of eyes. Bring your gaze to the eyes on your face, facing out, the ones you're accustomed to. Now find the eyes in the back of your head that sees out that way as well. And then draw both the front eyes and the back eyes inward. and find the heart in between. And then to the crown of our head. Feel a lift from the crown of our head up. As our feet are planted in the earth, our crown lifts us up to the heavens. Find the heart of the head. And now we've experienced a scan of the whole body. Perhaps enabling us to experience this moment in a more embodied way than a few minutes ago. Let our breath be smooth and long, not forced. Breathing in, I calm myself. Breathing out, I smile. Resting in this moment, it is a complete moment. And now I invite you to open your eyes. Breathing in and out some slow, deep breaths. And let us come together for some conversation. So as I often say to you, I'm a Zen teacher, but I have nothing to teach you. All I can do is offer to you my practice, to be truthful to my practice. And so I'd like to share with you how I've been working in my practice in an embodied way, and perhaps it will open up some things for you in your practice, and then you would share those. We can share those together. So I'd like to talk tonight about something people don't like to talk about usually, but it's the Dharma Gate of Pain. Oh, that's a fun topic. Don't run for the doors, everybody, please. You're intimately familiar with it. Well, you're going to have room to speak. You know, before I was a Zen teacher and a sewing teacher, before I was a yoga teacher, before I was an artist, before I was a mom, I was what I'd like to refer to as an athlete. And I was a competitive athlete. And as a competitive athlete, your focus is always more. I can do more. I can be better. It's a striving consciousness. I can shorten my time. I can be faster. I can always be better. It's a striving. And we're fine if we leave that on the track. But when you carry it into all aspects of your life, it can be rather burdensome. But recently, in the last few years, I've been experiencing an aging body and hip issues. And don't look at that. Just work through it. Push through it. That was the consciousness that that is encoded in my nervous system, it feels like sometimes. You know, just push through it. Don't pay attention. It's wrong. Pain is wrong. It's a failure. If you're an athlete, that's what you're told. You know, do therapies, take drugs, do all kinds of, but the pain is wrong. Pain is an incredible teacher, I want to tell you. If you let it have a voice, if you don't make it wrong, it's not wrong. What's wrong is telling it it's wrong. So there's, we know the difference in our practice, right? Between pain and suffering. There's pain. Adding more suffering onto it is to say, it's wrong. You need to get out and run even though it hurts like hell. I think this is also something that I do, some of us might do in our sitting practice. Oh, it hurts to sit today. It hurts. Do it anyhow. No, listen to the pain. It has illuminated for me more than anything, other aspect of my practice, the grasping mind. I thought I was all done with that. I thought, oh, you know, and particularly I live alone, so I think I'm the most enlightened person on the planet, right? I'm learning to let pain be a teacher. That's what I'm doing with my practice. There's a koan that I've been working on for quite a while, which you're all very familiar with, I'm sure. It's the 14th case in the Blue Cliff Record. A monk asks Yunmen, what is the practice of a lifetime? And we know that this harkens back to a question that was brought to the Buddha. And the Buddha expounded on that in beatific ways. Well, Yunmen, being the snarky guy he was, his response was appropriate response. That's the teaching of a lifetime. Appropriate response. And this has become a really great guiding tool for me. When I encounter not only pain, but painful things in the world around us. How are we going to respond to all of this? How do we respond? Do we go to our place of refuge and hide? Do we combat? What do we do? There's no right answer. There's in the moment, the complete moment. You respond in the moment. I know that sounds esoteric, and probably for those of you who are new, who have come here tonight, you wanted something more concrete. I wish I could be. But to be able to sit with what arises, bearing witness to it, right? Not making it right or wrong, bearing witness, not knowing what is the outcome, not knowing what is the right thing to do. And from that not knowing and bearing witness, perhaps a compassionate response will arise. So this is what I sit with these days. Appropriate response. How is it for you?
It's a struggle, isn't it, to remember that moment to moment. There's such a, I think, a lifetime, maybe billions of lifetimes, that seem to be pulling us, me, into thinking that things are wrong. Pain, for instance, is wrong. So then, you know, then we're not there for it. We're not there for ourselves. We're not there for everything. So I'm grateful for the teaching and teachers who provide instruction and examples of being present, and so that the response. And sometimes I'm there, and the appropriate response happens. And then later I think, oh, that was an appropriate response. I got lucky. That's how it is for me right now.
Yeah, thank you, Barbara. It's lovely to see you today. When you were talking about pain, it really struck a chord, and so did my knee as you were speaking. I find I have a lot of pain these days because I've been getting arthritic for a number of years now. And all you have to do is turn on the TV and there's a pill for everything. But I've always been kind of ambivalent when it comes to painkillers, because I've always been of the opinion that you hurt for a reason. And my concern is masking the pain, really, so that I'm afraid that if I do, there's a potential that I could injure myself even further. And, you know, it limits my ability to do what I would like to do. I can't do prostrations anymore. I can't go for the walks I like to do. I do a monthly cleanup on the American River Parkway, and we're out there for, I don't know, hour and a half, 2 hours, and I pay for it, you know, the next few days. But I've reached the conclusion that pain is, but suffering is optional. It's really the attitude that you bring with it, you know, like, I don't think, oh, woe is me anymore, because there's no me there, so I find that very helpful. Anyway, that's about all I have to say. So thank you so much for coming in person. It's been too long.
Thank you. I find that when things close down, other things open up. I know that sounds rather cliche, but it's really true. You know, I can't do this anymore, but wow, look what it's opened up. So there's always a brightness, I think. And it gives us an opportunity to let go of our identifying with the way we have been in our bodies. I was an athlete. Boy, that's been a hard one to let go of, because it's like I feel it's just encoded in my nervous system. Really? You're an athlete? What are you? So, you know, seeing the body shift really gives you an opportunity to break down those identity barriers in ways that are pretty profound. That's why I wanted to share with you this exercise of doing this body scan, which I think is a very useful instrument. Do that periodically and notice what you notice. We don't go into the hearts of our body. We live on the outside so much. Go inside. That's a Zazen practice right there for you.
Thank you, Barbara. And like everyone else, I'm very happy to see you here this evening. Now, yeah, I can certainly relate to what you were saying. I was never a competitive athlete. But I, my view of myself was I was a runner, I was a backcountry skier, I was a backpacker, hiker. That was when my knees went south and I couldn't do those things anymore, we kind of had to come to grips with that I am not what I do. And certainly what you're saying about the scanning the body, I first took up meditation through the yoga studio where I worked at the time. And it was different from Zazen, Shikantaza. You know, it was all based on the initial teaching was that, you know, to breathe, locate and breathe in and out of the chakras. Breathe into your third chakra, breathe out of your fifth chakra, whatever, you know, they go through that. And then it progressed from that to, is it mantra meditations and that sort of thing. But every yoga teacher, every meditation teacher, I haven't really had, since I've been here, I haven't had any real instruction. But because I came with an established meditation practice, even now it's not unusual for me to do a body scan as I start to sit, just quickly, and it just really kind of turns everything on. As I come back to my breath, as the thought dies away and I come back to my breath, I'm also coming back to all the sensations going through the body. And that's a powerful experience.
Thanks.
Hi, Barbara. As you were talking, I was thinking about this paper I once read about this girl who she couldn't feel pain. And her life was a nightmare. Like, she, at one point, even got hit by a car and was, dragged down her block. And she, that's fine. You know, and then she gets home and, her parents are like, oh, my God, we have to go to the hospital. You know, and I remember when I read that paper, it made me think, of course I don't like pain, but it's really, you have to have it to be a functioning entity in this world. And it's really, it's just your body's way of communicating what it needs to you, or what it thinks it needs. That kind of helped me contextualize pain to some degree. I remember when I read that paper.
Hello there.
Do we have somebody from there?
You want to take one there first?
Go right ahead.
Okay. Welcome.
Thank you.
I remember visiting my elderly parents in Florida and going at their invitation to the pool, and I couldn't believe how many Zen masters there were. I'm going to the doctor at 10 a.m. because of my leg. I'm going to the doctor at 4 p.m. because of my headaches. A lot of pain. So as I look around the room, there's a lot of people that are getting on in years. And so when you talk about an appropriate response, dealing with pain is an appropriate response because it's part of our life. It's part of our daily life. So we care about ourselves just like we care about everything, and we take care of ourselves. I think for us, pain is, a good part of our practice. Now, maybe if we were 25, it would be something else would be what our practice was. We might not be thinking so much of pain, in generalizing, of course. But we could use pain and how we deal with it as an example of how anybody deals with anything. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not necessarily the pain to me that is the teaching, but attending to what is coming up in the present moment. That's what the pain is indicative of. And so, I have all sorts of issues, you know, physical issues that I deal with. And what I find, I'm sure it comes out of a sitting practice, is this is in front of me right now, so I deal with this. When I'm done attending to this, then I move on to the next thing that I have to address. And so, pain is like that. It's a doctor's appointment, scheduling it, when you're going to, all the different things. And you just, you know, deal with it one by one by one. It reminds me of Suzuki Roshi saying, he used to say, which of course is timely since his new book is coming out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. He would say, you know the American phrase, kill two birds with one stone? He says, our practice is to kill one bird with one stone. So I think that's what maybe what you might be talking about.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Do we have anybody here? Doesn't look like it.
There would be a hand, a yellow hand.
Are there yellow? There's no yellow hands.
They have no pain right now.
Hi, Barbara. I like the fact
that Gary is an old-time friend of mine outside of this group, and we've practiced yoga together for many years.
Yes. And your Dharma talk tonight was informed by your past experiences teaching yoga, being an artist. It all radiates from you. And that's beautiful. I remember one of our teachers, Ramanand Patel, was a structural engineer before he became a yoga teacher, and his practice was informed by that. So we're all informed by our previous experiences. But I love the way you started by talking about a connection to Mother Earth, because we've abused her so much, and yet she keeps giving back. And the strong connection, beginning with your feet, connecting. Then the other thing you mentioned was the heart of all the different areas of the body you were addressing. And that's so important, and yet so overlooked. So thanks for helping us find it tonight.
I want to mention something. I was in a restaurant, I live in Denver, a week ago, and there was this incredible piece of art in the restaurant when you walked in, and that kind of art that is, the focus is on the words, and it had one message. The message was, there is only one suffering. There is only one suffering. So maybe you can answer what that is for you in this moment. I think it's pretty, it's as evocative as that koan that I mentioned earlier. Not accepting what is, wanting it to be different.
Thank you, Barbara. Just exploring pain and all the different dimensions of it, it reminded me of something that just happened to me that today I was in my fitness class, my weight-bearing exercise class, which I really love. And I've been having this experience where I'm noticing that I can't really hear very well out of this one ear. And suddenly it came over me while I was there, and all of a sudden I panicked. I thought, I've got to hear. I have to do something. And I was going to, like, put all my weights away and leave. But then it was like, wait, what are you afraid of? And suddenly I just could calm myself down, and I went on with the whole class, and I didn't really, the symptom wasn't as strong after that, but I'm just thinking about fear and pain and how much when we have pain and we get afraid, then that sets in motion a whole kind of reactivity that actually makes the pain feel more intense often for people. But to experience that panic really brought it home to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I could have just bolted, but no, I finished my class. So.
Well, it's fear, hate, and delusion, right? Fear, hate. I hate what is happening to me. And delusion. Why is this happening to me? Me. So it's the three poisons that show up in that very, in that pain. What is your appropriate response?
Let it be.
Mm-hmm. Or just let it. Just experience it. Be in the presence of it. I'm really experiencing these days how I don't need to bring anything into a setting. I don't need to say anything to people. I just have to just be a presence there. It's amazing when you can go into a room and allow yourself to just be a presence. I'm not there to do anything. I'm not there to get anything. Just be a presence. Can we be that with the things that challenge us? Can we just be a presence? Can we let them be? Sometimes it's easier than others.
I'm not sure it's on, so double check. Thank you, Barbara. You know, it just occurred to me that maybe the most intense kinds of pain is psychological, because I can't localize it like I can localize the pain in my hip to go there to know what the appropriate response is to that hip pain. You know, I should do an exercise, I should not overuse it, but what do I do with psychological pain? Where is it? It's in my whole body. And I think that's maybe finding that appropriate response to that type of pain, I think, at least for me, becomes more difficult because I can't localize it. How do I begin to hold it if I can't find it? And it's because it's my whole body. To me, I find that kind of pain and finding what the appropriate response to that pain is that maybe stepping out, which we did as we used the mind's eye, that be able to get some distance between the me that's a experiencing this pain and then looking in at this person who is experiencing pain. To me, that sometimes helps me have some distance. And I don't mean it like a disassociation at all.
Sounds like you're wanting clarity about it.
Or sometimes just to be in that pain and not trying to run away from it.
I think sometimes we can witness that psychological pain, physical pain manifests through the whole body and out into the world around us. I think that our Western medicine tends to localize things. Okay, well, we're going to do this procedure. And no, that experience pervades this whole being and everything that this whole being reaches out to. So for me, it's not so much distancing as really embodying it, feeling it, and seeing how it permeates that whole being. Noticing that when I have some psychological suffering, how it shows up in my body 2 days later. We're all of a piece. This is all of a piece.
So good to see you, Barbara. It's been a long time. What comes up for me is the shared experience of pain. If it's my hip that hurts, it's like the whole world is being experienced through that hip in that moment. When you're leading us through the guided meditation and scanning the body, I'm sharing that sense of the body with you. I have a body, you have a body. It's that one body you spoke of earlier. There's this shared experience that comes about with the direct experience of pain or discomfort or joy, any of it. And I think sometimes of it as being like our biography that we're creating together and co-creating in this experience of the moment. You're sharing your pain, your experience with body scanning, the all of us in the room sharing our experiences with pain creates this biography that's not mine or yours or Shoju's here to my right. It's our.
It's the pain.
It's the pain, yeah. It's really a lovely practice. And I think I also find that it awakens me and exposes me in a way that I'm not always comfortable being exposed. I get aggravated, I get impatient when I'm really feeling pain maybe, or I want to push it away like you were saying. And I'm learning how what comes up in the pain is kind of exposing this habitual way of responding to the world around me that is not an appropriate response, but is a response. It's not, it changes and shifts in that moment. Earlier today, I was riding my bicycle on the trail, and I was just tooling along at a pretty good speed, and there was a squirrel in front of me, and I've never before hit a squirrel, and I've always gone in one direction and the squirrel in another direction, but in this case, it was very hot out, and the squirrel, I think, was a little, you know, spacey, and I was really alert. I was not feeling spacey, so the squirrel went one direction, I went the other direction, then in the reverse direction it came toward me, and I reversed my direction again, and I hit it. And I went on another 10 or 15 feet and stopped, and then turned around and went back, not knowing what I was going to find. And the squirrel was gone, and I looked in the underbrush and along the side of the road to the left and the right, sharing its pain, you know, and feeling my part in harming this animal, and it changed my feeling about being out on the bike, and I decided to end the ride and just stop it. Everything had changed in that moment, and I wasn't regretful that I was ending the ride. I was disappointed that I couldn't find the squirrel, and just hopeful that the squirrel was okay. But there was that shared pain with another animal, another creature in that moment. And it is the teaching of a lifetime. Each time it arises. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. There's a lot of pain in the world, is there not? How are we sitting with all of that pain? How is it showing up in our bodies? In the bodies of the people we love? In all the beings in our immediate vicinity that we notice? Today, this morning, I was on the bus in Berkeley, and there's a man who rides on the bus from the marina that I've noticed before, who was very articulate, but very evangelistic to whoever. And he was ranting about conspiracy things. And people on the bus were getting really upset, like, oh, shut up, please, could you keep down, tone it down? And all I could do was sit there and just bear witness, marvel at it. There was no, but people experienced pain in this moment of being with this person who just needed to be heard. Take public transportation more often. It's really an important thing to do. You come into contact with life that you don't in your cars, going to your habitual places. But take public transportation. I live in the city, and I come here to the city, so I take public transportation, and it's amazing the joys and sorrows that you will experience just bearing witness. It's a great practice for just being present. You don't have to do anything. Just be present. And don't avert your eyes. Be there. If you're with see a homeless person, don't avert your eyes from them. Look them in the eyes. Most people just want to be connecting with you. They just want to be seen or heard. Just give them that, your presence, and let them be heard and seen. So I have nothing to teach. Just keep to my practice. I live a quiet life, and just keep to my practice. And maybe that is something of value in the world. I don't know. Appropriate response.